Laughing Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Porto and calling in from Whitehorse in the Yukon Territory. Hugh Neff, how's it going?
Hey, Robert. How you doing, buddy?
I am good. How are you?
I'm actually out at Annie Lake visiting Tamara. I got the dogs out here, so got my truck unloaded, got the dogs out in the kennel. They're playing with, of course, most of the team's mother is Annie, Walter's sister, so they get to see their mom. So it's all good, dude. Obviously a pretty amazing race, and we're looking good for the future.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on your win. I know you won it just a couple of years ago by just a few seconds. How does it feel to have a commanding lead over the race and come in as you did?
Yeah, isn't it funny to think that nowadays a commanding lead is an hour, where back in the day, would be winning races by half a day and stuff. Just shows you the level of talent and commitment that mushing has evolved into. I mean, there's just everybody's really dialed in with their teams, and it's beautiful to watch. I think the folks back on internet world really got a good kick out of seeing the teams going back and forth with each other, even though realistically we're on our own schedules here and there. Towards the end of the race, obviously we're keying off of each other too, so it's fun. I mean, I have all the world of respect for Brent, and obviously I personally think Alan is probably the most underrated musher there is in the world. I think he should be talked about, like they talk about Lance or Hans or the great Quest mushers of all time. I whenever I'm out on the trail with Alan, I'm taking notes because he's definitely a gifted dog man.
You know, just before we went on air, I read an article in the Newsminer that said that you, Alan, Brent, and now the up-and-coming musher, Matt Hall, are really dialed in, rocking and rolling, and you guys have been that way for the past half decade or so. You know, you guys have been right there battling out for the top for a long time, but it also says that you guys have the ability now to concentrate this on a yearly basis, and I know that it's difficult sometimes for folks that can't do that in order to win these big races. What is your thoughts on that?
You gotta go through the agony to get to the ecstasy, just like Wide World of Sports. So you gotta, after two tough years of your first couple Quest years, you get your dogs a feel for the trail, and then once the dogs know the trail, it's a huge advantage. So I mean, my main team average age was 7 years old, or six or seven. I had a couple of 8 year olds, lots of 6 and 7 year olds. The funny thing was, I had 3 yearlings in the team that I knew weren't going to make it that far, and they actually made it to Slavens, two of them, and one of them made it to Eagle, which blew my mind because two of those dogs had never even been in a race before. I had called up other mushers trying to borrow some dogs last minute, and nobody had anything available, so I said, I'll just take these guys along, and they ended up doing quite well. I mean, and the other thing is, they're only 18 months old. I mean, they're young, so definitely things are looking good for the future.
Well, last year you guys battled some pretty cold temperatures there when you were coming from the Whitehorse side, and it looked like it was kind of smoother sailing for you guys in the last half of the race compared to the guys that weren't quite in Dawson when you guys were. How was the trail for you guys and the weather?
Yeah, the only real part we had that we had to deal with was in the Black Hills, a little bit of drift that we had to punch through the trail, but it's the Quest, stuff like that is expected. That's why it's a race that's great. I mean, my main leader, George, is 8 going on 9, and for him, it's a better pace than Iditarod. Iditarod's so just, high pitched and everybody's going at it. It's more for younger dogs, where I think the Quest, with all the different obstacles, we see the jumble ice and different weather fluctuations, a nice steady veteran team it's perfect for. But we're working on it. Brent and I, believe me, we realize people are going to get bored if it's just the same 3 guys going at it every year. And obviously, for some reason, the older generation of Iditarod shies away from the Quest. yet they'll send some of their handlers, which I can't understand why their handlers can do it, but they won't do it. It sort of strikes me as being a little bit disrespectful. That being said, we're willing to take any younger mushers. So if we're going to work on maybe Richie Deal, Pete Kaiser, who we got to hang out with a lot in Bethel, and they're great guys and great dog people. So people should realize the Quest Trail is an amazing trail, and they're really missing out on it. When it's, you know, decent weather, it's a racetrack out there, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know if they could tell on the Internet, but some of those parts of that race, we were flying out there. Coming off of American Summit and a few other spots, it was awesome.
So speaking of flying out there, you finished the race this year 9 days and an hour, I believe. Where does that fit into your normal time frame in terms of finishing?
No clue. You know me with numbers, man. I could probably ask Tamara. I do know that it's over half a day or something like a half a day faster than my 2012 winning time. Yeah, so the only time that was ever faster is when they didn't do American Summit. So I would say in my mind I have the record because, you know, there's a big difference. And plus we had to do the top of the world, the extra part too, which was all hills. That was the worst part of the race. That was crazy. That was drifting in too. So that's where a lot of teams had to camp right before Dawson because it was really warm
right
out there. But I'm a big believer in tradition, and this is the traditional course. That other course is not the traditional course. So it's been my goal, dude. I've always wanted to have the record. In fact, I want to have all top 10 of them, to tell you the truth. That's how greedy I'll be. I don't think Brent's going to allow that. But I think if you look at the records of the Quest, I've got like at least half the top 10 fastest times. So it's my baby. I don't know if it cheers, if it scares people away from coming because they know that it, they don't want to go up against guys that are dialed in on the course, but man, these guys just don't realize, and ladies don't realize what they're missing. It's a beautiful, beautiful area of the world.
So you won in 2012 and again in 2016, so I guess that's both times winning coming into Whitehorse. Do you have a preference on the way you run your race compared to going from one way to the other since you have both wins there in Canada?
It does get warmer this route, and it turns into more of a speedier course where going towards Fairbanks is more of a survival course, getting over Eagle and Rosebud. Definitely on my list of things to do, though, is to be able to do what Brent did last year and win it in downtown Fairbanks. I think I got lots of Native friends that would mean a lot, too, if I could do it in person. That being said, I got a lot of friends over here, man. I'm starting to realize I got a lot of friends everywhere, so people have just been super awesome to me. Over the top.
I was looking at your Facebook page, the Gypsy Musher page, when you're out there on the trail, and you had a heck of a lot of support out there, you know, people giving you high fives and sharing pictures. And, man, you are a worldwide celebrity in the mushing world, and I think a lot of that has to do with you going over to Europe, and you've been to Australia and Norway and all those places. You're really reaching out to a lot of international fans, and you've said that over and over, that the Quest is very big in Europe compared to Iditarod and how it sort of is an American thing. Do you still agree with that?
Oh, yeah, but it's getting huge here, too. I mean, I've been dealing with stuff that's going on in Chicago, where I grew up. Obviously, it's a big deal right now. It's on all the media outlets and stuff, so it's cool, man. If I can do whatever to help promote this race, the more the merrier. We as mushers have got to give back, especially the ones that are lucky enough to be able to do it on a yearly basis. And part of that giving back just isn't money. It's your time and trying to support these races in the future somehow by getting younger kids as handlers or what have you. But yeah, it's awesome. But it's about the dogs, dude. And I get a little sick seeing the Hugh Neff stuff everywhere on the internet. I want to promote my dogs, and just how amazing they are. I've got 2 8-year-olds that finished that were Annie's pups that are George and Amigo, and they were just two of the better dogs at the finish. Rosalita was the main leader for most of the race, but in troubled spots, I put George up there. And then Mojito, Rosalita's sister, is the tan boy. Rosie's the dark girl. Looks just like Annie. They were probably 7 700 miles of the race they were in lead. Stevie Ray, another awesome leader for probably 400 or 500 miles. He's just a little bit goofy in the head, and he would like to look around a lot. I mean, the story of this race was there were dogs loose everywhere, as usual, and I even had dogs loose. People were bringing dogs to the finishing chute, dude. So my team had to go down the finishing chute with dogs lining both sides. Fortunately, everything worked out okay, but I think race fans need to be a little bit more careful in the future about bringing dogs to races.
Right, yeah, it's not a good place to bring dogs. I know a lot of folks do that up at the Willow restart because it has such a big area there, and they'll let their dogs run free as you guys are trying to hit the trail there. So let's talk a little bit about George. You know, I'm very familiar with George and Amigo, spending time with them at your kennel a couple of years ago. Got to know those guys pretty well. He sure is a character, isn't he? I know you posted that picture today of him checking out Facebook or whatever he was doing online. Give us a little history of George, because he's been in a lot of races with you, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I think old school mushers look at how I treat dogs, and they probably don't agree with my couch dogging it and stuff like that. Some do, perhaps after races, to help get the weight back on them faster. But for me, the dogs are, you know, just part of who I am, so they go with me wherever, like George, Amigo, obviously Walter. Walter's here right now. I'm going to be doing a talk tomorrow in Whitehorse, actually, so I'm going to bring Walter to that. But George is, I'm a big believer, you know, people want to talk about training miles and all that crap, which it's understandable. You have to have your dog's metabolism and body condition proportionally. But realistically, I don't think enough is talked about nurturing a dog's character and how, as mushers, a lot of your dog's attributes are not just genetic. They're how you bring them up as puppies or how you let them bond with each other. I'm a big believer in socialization. I want all the dogs to know each other. And I think that's how they might be from different litters, but they come together at the end. That was a beautiful part about this race. I think 8 of the 9 finishing dogs were all Annie's puppies, Walter's sister.
I know Tamara had posted that on her page that you know, that she had a picture of Annie there, and then, of course, given props to all of her pups.
All any, but know, in person, all anybody talked about though was Lester, dude. Lester just steals the show because he's just such a different looking type of dog, you know.
Right. Yeah, he's that. For folks that don't know, he's that copper-colored dog. Almost looks like a penny color. He's a beautiful looking animal.
Yeah, John
animal,
Baker,
you know?
Lines. Yeah, right. But I mean, I have the head official, the race vets. I mean, like, they're gawking over this dog. So, because he looks really intimidating in a picture, but he's actually a little puppy. I mean, he's just a little baby.
Right. How did your boy Bodie do? You know, we've talked a lot about him on the show.
So,
did he finish the race, or did he have to get dropped?
Yeah, he got dropped. He was having horny issues. He was so hot for Cohiba, who was in heat, that he wouldn't even eat, dude. I mean, it was pretty comical. But,
and that's sort of his personality anyway.
Well, heck, he's got about 25 kids in the yard, so I guess he's wondering, what the heck, dude? But I've got enough dogs. I don't need any more puppies, that's for sure.
There you go. So you've been off the trail now for, I don't know, a day or so. How does it feel? Have you slept yet? What are your plans? You said you're doing a talk in Whitehorse tomorrow. Have you got a chance to rest yet, or are you still out there enjoying the moment?
I wanted to get the dogs out here out of town, you know, so I did that. I unpacked the truck so the ravens don't get into all the food I have in the back. But, you know, it's dogs first, so I'm going to head back into town, hang out with my German friends that are here, and do some dinner. And they're actually having a gathering tonight at the fire hall at 6 for a TV show that's in Canada that we made last year with a company out of Vancouver. And it's based on 4 mushers, myself and Normand Casavant and a few other people. So my buddy Greg's here, and he's in charge of it, and I'm looking forward to checking it out.
Very cool. So
a lot going on,
dude. I imagine. Do you guys have a big closing facility, you know, like they do with Iditarod, a big banquet and all that, or something
I'd
else?
I'd say it's the besides the banquet, I went to this, the banquet in Finnmark in Alta was unbelievable. They had like a Russian orchestra band that was it blew my mind. So I'd have to say that's my top banquet of all time was the Finnmark Slopet. But year in, year, every other year, I mean, all banquets are cool, but I think the banquet for the Quest last year in Fairbanks was probably the best one I've been to. I mean, because the banquets aren't about just the food or awards or any of that stuff. It's about the stories. And
right.
when Musher can get up there on stage and tell a heck of a story or talk about their dogs or... not just all about the financial aspect of mushing. That's what the fans want to hear about.
Right.
We concentrate too much, I think, about the other stuff.
I'm going to let you go here in just a minute, but I have a couple of more questions regarding the near future. A little less than 3 weeks from now is Iditarod start. How do you feel going into that? Are a lot of these same dogs going to be there that are on the quest, you know, that double dip as they say, doing that 2,000-mile run, you know, back-to-back, what's happening there?
I'd say pretty much most of them, except one or two, will be doing both. I did hold back one of my main leaders, Doc Holliday. He's more set up for Iditarod. But you know how it is. I mean, I just won the quest and all that, but so many other mushers are just so much more committed, or I don't know what you want to call it, or just, you know, scientific about dog mushing, where I don't know if I can necessarily beat a kid who I respect a lot, like Dallas, who's 140 pounds and been running his dogs year-round on the treadmill. I mean, I know that the Seavies and folks like them, you know, all the old-school Iditarod families, they're a tough cookie to overcome, because the Iditarod's their baby, so... if I can just, you know, maybe do top 15, I'll be happy. But to actually think about winning Iditarod anymore, I sort of just, I didn't give up on that dream, but I just sort of got realistic with it. It's pretty tough when I'm a Nick, you see my cabin and my truck. I mean, I'm not the fanciest guy in the world. And I'm going up against people, some of them have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in sponsors on a yearly basis and fancy clothing and vehicles, blah, blah, blah. So... if I can at least hang with them, I think I'm doing okay. But I don't really get all cocky just because I won the quest that I can go into Iditarod and do super good. I'm just going to take it one day at a time and see what happens.
You know, I'm sure a lot of people have asked you, what would it take for you to win Iditarod? Because you do very well in the quest. You always have, and you've always said that that's sort of your race out of the two. It's much more geared to... a guy like you, and, you know, I think I know you pretty well, at least in terms of personality and, you know, all that I've learned over the last few years. You know, what would it take to go to the other side, so to speak, and, you know, really concentrate and do very well at that race compared to the quest? Or can you?
It's all about the coast, dude. The coast's been kicking my butt for years. So I just got to man up and, you know, focus on Mother Nature and getting through the worst of what she has to offer me. So a lot of distractions, and I did her ad too. So I think, you know, just watching what Allie does every year, it behooves the musher to just stay away from everybody else and do your thing. And it's probably going to take me being on a nice set schedule and doing some camping out and staying away from all the hospitality that I did her ad offers. And hopefully that's what I'm going to plan on doing. It looks like the weather won't be that cold, so 50 below, I'd like to be in a cabin. But, you know, if it's chill like it was for this race, camping out at, you know, 10 below or whatever, it was fine. It's perfect.
Well, if you say you're comfortable at, you know, that top 15, I think that's a very respectable place to be, because you have, I don't know, 75 other mushers behind you, at least this year, if you're in that top 15. So I think that's a pretty good goal to set. What do you think?
Yeah, it's cool, though, man. A lot of the people, the reason the number is high for Iditarod is the Norwegians did. And I wasn't even planning on doing Iditarod this year. I was planning on going to Norway. But since they're all coming over here, I'm like, okay, I'll delay Finnmark for another year. But I am going to go and do some racing in Scandinavia after the Iditarod in March. And possibly, I think I'm doing a race in Finland, too. So it would be Finland and then Svalbard, which is up in Spitsbergen in northern Norway, in between Norway and the North Pole. So, for me, when I do these trips overseas, it's just to explore, really. It's fun racing, but I really want to check out the local culture and all that sort of stuff. A little nervous about the polar bears, though.
All right, Hugh, I have one final question. This is more for the more novice fans of mushing that may have asked this question maybe in the past. How long does it take you to get back in gear? You know, you've been on the trail for 9 days, little sleep, all of that that goes on. What does it take to get back to, you know, some sort of normal life, so to speak, so you're kind of operating as you should be?
Well, people don't realize, I mean, for us, in a weird way, it's a vacation because getting away from dog yard chores and all that. I'm a big believer that real dog mushers do the work themselves. So Nicole helps when she's visiting Tok, but usually, you know, she's working in Fairbanks. So I didn't have a handler at all this year, and my back was killing me most of the time taking care of 40 dogs every day. But I think that intense bond you develop with the dogs, not having a million handlers running around doing all your work for you, makes you a better dog person. So I don't really believe in getting handlers anymore. I'd rather just have a house sitter and then
right.
Let me take care of my dogs. I didn't get into this to be a dog racer. I got into this because I want to be a dog musher, a dog man. And that big part of that is, you know, scooping poop and doing the dirty stuff. But I think the dogs give you more respect and love for that. I think dogs can really tell when you're treating them with respect and kindness. It's like they said with George Alley, you could walk into his yard and not one of his dogs would even look at you because they were all just looking at him the whole time. And that's what my goal is as well.
That's some awesome respect there. Hugh, anything else you want to mention before we close? I want to close it up so you can get some rest or do whatever you got to do here before you concentrate on that next task.
Oh, just thanks to everybody for your positive support. Lots happening. Dogs are looking good, and it's a magical time in life, and I'm just trying to enjoy every moment while I can.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely hook up when you're out this way in a couple of weeks for Iditarod. I'll take you to dinner or beers or something. How's that?
Oh, sounds good, dude. I'll kick your butt in pool again.
There you go. All right, Yukon Quest champion this year, Hugh Neff, Gypsy Mushroom, is one of his Facebook pages. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Later, dude.